He's so happy his name comes first. He's not happy his name comes second. But together, they're going to go on tangents for hours. The Jeff and Wisp Show, mornings on 108.9 The Hog. What they call the new classic rock right here on 108.9 The Hawk and the Jeff and Wisp Show. Wisp Charlington, hello everyone. How are you this morning? 8:02.
Jeff the Anger Man Garlock, how are you doing, Wisp?
I'm doing great. Thank you for
that. I feel awkward.
What's that?
Have I ever asked you how are you doing?
No. See, I ask the crowd. I ask everybody.
You ask the crowd.
And
you crowdsource it.
I do crowdsource it so I can just suck in the basically I'm sucking their life force, Jeff.
Oh, God,
when they say it, I'm just sucking it all in.
You're like a regular old space vampire, just sucking the life force.
I am a regular old space vampire. Well, I mean, I'm 76 years old. I've been doing radio for a very, very long time. I might as well be a space vampire at this point in time. But it is the Wisp. Oh, I keep effing that up. It is the Jeff and Wisp Show. I don't think
look, there's a lot of changes. It's hard to keep up.
Ever
going to
get rid of it. Yeah, it is hard to keep up. I don't know if I'm ever going to get used to that, Jeff.
I mean, you know what? I'm not going to get used to.
What's that?
All this goddamn new classic rock.
Oh, my God.
And the thing is, too, is like, that's the Chai Peps, right?
That's the Red Hot Chili Peppers. From their 1999 album, Jeff.
So that's the thing. That's like a new classic
that
rock.
When does it stop being...
new classic rock and start being new classic rock.
So new classic rock would be considered anything off the Blood Sugar Sex Magik record.
That's new classic rock.
Or,
but this is like new metal, like umlauts.
It's new metal. It's not noy metal. That's completely different.
Oh, that would be like krautrock metal, which would be fantastic.
Yes,
I would love a good noy metal.
Lemon Sour would play that every 7 p.m.
Oh,
right here on 108.9 The Hawk with Go.
He would do a mashup of television and noy metal, and it would be very confusing all around. A lot of angular guitars.
Oh my God. But Scotty, our producer behind the glass, would it kill you? Would it kill you? So Steely Dan?
I mean, just one. Just Peg. Not even the whole song.
I just want to hear the Peg.
That's all we need.
If you could just play the Peg part over and can we get a Peg sweeper?
Can you give us a goddamn Peg sweeper?
We basically just gave it to you, Scotty. Oh, my God.
It's right there. Hey. I mean, every time you want to play a Candlebox song, play just the Peg sweeper.
Hey, big news today. If you're a big fan of 108.9 The Hawk and Cheese Sticks, our own Jason Gore's going to be hot casting from 3 to 6 today at the Cheese Stick Factory. Now, this is all sorts of variations. And owner Dungle Cheese, it's not spelled the way you think. Or is it spelled the way you think? It's a Z at the end. That's clever.
I guess it's based on how you think cheese is spelled. Or more importantly, how do you spell dungle?
Don't get me started on that one. 804. He's going to be there from 3 until 6 today. No free anything.
Oh.
So a lot of...
He's just there.
He's just there. So
it's kind of like
either.
Just another old day at the Cheese Factory.
Another day, but Jason Gore's going to be there, and it's going to be a great time. So you know you want to go out for that. Other big news today, Jeff. We got to talk about this real quick.
All the news you can use or the news you can lose. It's news time on 108.9 The Hawk.
Oh, you know our neighbor city, Charlottesburg. We hate them.
With a passion.
We hate them, but the transmitter does go all the way out there.
So we love the ones who listen.
We love the ones. If you listen in Charlottesburg, we love you. If you don't, my God, what a dung pile. But hey, they have a new mayor. A squirrel named Rudy Tootie was elected mayor of Charlottesburg today. They really went for it.
They said it couldn't happen, and then Charlottesburg was like, we'll make it happen.
So,
and that was Rudy Tootie's slogan, too.
That was, and...
I mean, that was, of course, translated from...
Of course, our mayor, David Lee Roth, heard about this, and he said, this is his statement on the neighboring mayor.
Go for it. Take a shot. People live their life in fear, and then they wonder why the world is caving in on them, and their wife left, and on and on.
That's just good. Go for it. Our mayor, Mayor David Lee Roth, says to you, Rudy Tootie, go for it.
So go for it. Any laws you want to put in, just go for it.
What any laws you want to put in? Are you Southern all of a sudden?
I think
hey,
I'm just.
Laws, you want a pudding?
Oh, no, that was my Jersey accent.
Right? Oh, that was your Springsteen Jersey accent.
That was my Springsteen Jersey.
When he's all like, man, when I recorded Born to Run,
I was there and down.
You sound like David Bryan from Bon Jovi.
That's what I mean. That was the thing. He was hanging out with David Bryan a lot around that time. Most people don't realize true New Jerseyan, David Bryan.
A true New Jerseyan, David Bryan.
Respect and power to David Bryan.
Yes. Oh, he's still alive.
Yeah, that's why you say respect and power.
But you said R.I.P.
R.I.P. Respect and power.
Respect and power. You could say
if he was resting.
Okay, good, good.
Then we'd throw some prayers up to David.
Oh, hey, you did join us on our Salute to Valverde Space Heroes episode. My God. A lot of people don't know that Valverde and the space program, they're intertwined. You wouldn't have a lot of the space heroes that you love and know if you didn't have Valverde and space. You have to have both of them.
If we didn't have space, we wouldn't have the space program. That's just a fact.
That's a fact. And when I talk to you about space heroes from Valverde, who do you think of?
Oh, I mean, Stan Long Happenstance.
Oh, God, he's good. Buzzy Krunkle,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, The Dig. The one we just called The Dig.
He was just known as The Dig. No other name.
You get in that spaceship, he goes, The Dig's taking off. And you're like,
all right. The Dig's taking off. And it's like,
all right. One
of my favorites, though, Hans Malone.
Oh.
He was the best navigator. He'll get you to the damn moon, but he's going to be a fucking jerk about it.
Oh, he's going to.
Scotty, go ahead and fire the delay. I will pay for that.
If we're talking about Hans Malone, we got to pay for that delay. Because you got to pay for the delay. He'll be like, get us to the moon. He's like, fuck you. It's like, what is going on here?
Fire it again, Scotty.
Just fire it again. We're talking Hans.
And then, of course, the best one of all, you remember him from the Apollo 28 mission, our last mission to the moon, and it was the first mission to the moon in full color. And if you want to get to the bottom of the moon, because he was the first one to go there, there's only one man, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Clunk Bottoms.
Hello. Now, please save your applause. I'm merely an elderly astronaut. Flogging a goddamn book on the radio.
Yes. Mr. Bottoms, or Clunk, if you would allow me to.
So, my name is Charlie Clunk Bottoms. Now,
oh, interesting.
Wow.
My given name is Charlie after my father.
Okay.
My nickname was Charles.
Oh.
When I got to the space program at NASA. They said you need a fun nickname.
Because everyone has them.
Buzz.
They all got them.
Yep.
Skipjack.
Yep.
Tiny Tom.
Oh, I love Tiny Tom.
Hands and Long.
Armstrong. Not Brother. His real name.
Not his real name. A nickname.
He was Smith.
Neil Smith was his given name, you see.
Exactly. No one's going to pick up on that.
But he had one withered arm.
Oh,
really?
For a bit in the program, we called him Witherdom. But it was decided this was cruel, you see.
You can't say anything nowadays. And when I say nowadays, I mean back then. I mean, that's just terrible.
What we were in the space program were truth tellers. We were saying what was on everyone's minds. But were afraid to say.
Exactly.
I'll tell you something.
Tell me, Clunk. I don't know what to call him, honestly.
You can call me Clunk. That was the nickname they gave me.
Okay, great.
When you're strapped into a lunar module.
Oh, God.
With nothing but friends and farts in outer space. That's when you start telling the truth.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, you stop being polite and you start getting real.
The fart world in space.
The fart world. That's right. When you're in a can full of space farts, there's no point in arguing about it anymore. But then, you know, it seemed cruel.
Uh-huh.
And Richard Nixon called us up and said, please, when you land on the surface of the moon, don't refer to him as weak arm.
Make up
a nickname for his other arm. Call him Armstrong. That was the nickname.
It was the only nice thing Richard Nixon ever did. That is so wonderful.
Such a nice thing.
You have to understand, it was nice, but we had to do it, you see. Because in part, he was commander-in-chief, even of NASA at times. Not an armed force, strong or weak.
No.
But he was the commander of commander of NASA.
Not
he had to do
NASA.
What he said. And also, he was holding our children hostage. So
really?
Now that sounds like Nixon. Where? I gotta say, before I was like, this doesn't sound like Nixon. Are we now sure this like, is him?
That's wasn't Nixon. Much, Nixon.
Wasn't much freedom friend. Of choice in this man's astronaut army, you know.
Oh, so God, when he holds them hostage, what's it? Are we talking cage? Are we talking like hidden cave? Is he putting them in there with NORAD? Just like, watch these kids.
No, it wasn't anything so dramatic.
Okay.
They were kept in the White House bowling alley.
A less dramatic well, that's kidnapping. Nice. Okay. That's very nice.
I would like to be kidnapped that
they
way.
Weren't allowed to bowl.
Oh, well, now that's punishment.
That's torture.
But they set up some cots there. And
okay. Just like right up and down the lane.
Richard Nixon liked to bowl while they watched.
And that was why it was bad. They had cots on the lane, though, and sometimes.
Knocking all their belongings.
I'm not sure you understand the geography of the White House bowling alley.
You know what? I have not been in the bowling alley.
But I've only been there twice.
Only one lane.
Okay.
And this is 10-pin bowling, you see.
Oh,
because I'm
God.
From the state of Maine.
Oh.
And in New England, we have a different kind of bowling called candlepin.
Candlepin.
But this was 10-pin, you see. Well, the candlepin bowling's another story altogether, which I won't tell now, but maybe in about 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, well, 8:16.
But I'm trying to say it. Excuse me, I'll stop for time and weather. Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying. I am really, we're happy to have you here, Clunk. And it sounds like you're just.
That's my nickname, Clunk.
No, we covered it. We covered it.
My other nickname is Charles. My last name is Bottoms.
We have gone.
But my actual last name is Carter. Carter.
It sounds like you said Carter, and I'm like, welcome back.
No, I was not on that show.
No, I wasn't either.
I did make a guest appearance on Good Times, though.
I do remember that. I do remember that.
When you and Rerun danced together.
Now I'm mixing that up. That is what's happening.
Oh, you're right. That is what's happening.
Can we put my name first again? Because
we're going to have to flip. Honestly, I'll give you that. Let's flip that one around.
It's the Wisp and Jeff show today. Yeah. Jesus Christ. But what I'm thinking, Clunk, and we do have to do traffic here in a second, but what I'm thinking is it seems like you're kind of telling it all in this latest book.
Yes, that's right. My book is called Moon Man from Maine.
Moon Man from Maine.
I'm the only astronaut, you know, to come from Maine. I come from Maine, the state of Maine.
Yes, yes.
Where we bowl candlepin.
Can we get the Maine count up on the screen so we know how many times he says Maine? So far, I'm thinking 12.
It's feeling like 12 minimum.
I have a feeling, boys, I'm about to bust the meter.
Clunk.
Clunk. You got clunk.
When it comes to mentioning Maine, I do it quite a bit. Why, it's in the title of my book, Moon Man of Maine. I'm the only astronaut from Maine.
Right.
I grew up on an island called Isle of Hot, Maine.
Wow.
I was the son of a lobsterman and a lobster woman. And by a lobsterman, I don't mean a hybrid human lobster.
That was my next question. Thank you.
That was going to be my second
Scotty
question.
No,
that was just my father. My mother was a hybrid human lobster.
She was a lobster.
I was wondering. That's interesting.
There you go.
And most of my exploration, you know, I initially joined the Navy's Lobster Corps, but then they promoted me to the hang gliding unit, and that's how I got recruited into the space program by NASA.
So one quick question on the Lobster Corps.
Just
I've
a quick
heard
one.
About that, and this was my favorite part of the book, and of course, we read every book before our guests come in. It's what we do.
Oh, the
second
how
we
it do comes
professional.
In.
Well, I do apologize.
It was a great read.
It was long, but it was very
so
intriguing.
Long. 482
so long.
Pages.
Well, like you saw Infinite Jest and said, let me do you one better.
Challenge accepted.
I decided that I wanted it to be exactly the same number of pages as exist in the novel The Stand by Stephen King.
There you go.
Abridged or unabridged.
My countryman, if you would, because he is also from Maine.
He
lives up in Bangor, Maine.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I am from Isle of Hot, Maine, which is an island off the coast of Maine. How are we doing on the meter, boys?
We're at 28.
But it just keeps rolling. It doesn't even stop.
It's literally just moving. It's just anticipating Maine.
I wanted it to be much longer, you see.
No.
Of course.
Of course.
In fact, the whole section
say.
Of the book was expurgated, they say.
Oh, well.
They would not allow me to include several important chapters.
Oh, my God.
That is interesting.
Most of what you read in the book, of course, is my growing up in Isle of Hot. Recruitment into NASA.
NASA.
All the pranks and
pranks.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your accent there. What'd you say?
No, I'm just saying I'm following. Pranks. This is what we do in radio. We say pranks.
In Maine, we say pranks.
Oh, that's a classic pranks. Rock accent right there.
That was classic. That was like talking to a member of Styx right there. My quick question before we go to traffic: the Lobster Corps. Now, were you catching lobsters or were you fighting them?
Good question.
Well, we were fighting them by catching them, you see.
Ah!
Okay. Yeah, the idea was you catch the lobster and then you brainwash him.
Brainwash them?
Yeah, jeez. You brainwash the lobster because the lobsters want us to die. That's true.
Well,
that is true.
So it was our mission
here first.
To create counterinsurgence within the lobster community.
Oh, my.
And the way you would do it is you would rub the lobster's, the part of the carapace between its two eyes, you would rub it until it became hypnotized. And then you would give it orders. Do not resist the humans. By the way, stop creating human lobster hybrids. They're gross.
So it's more of like a psychic warfare with the lobsters in a lot of ways.
Yes. Much of my work in all of my military history and my NASA history was experimental.
NASA.
And highly classified.
Highly classified, but you're hearing it right
here. Which is
in part
why they wouldn't let me publish the crucial 19th chapter of my book, Moon Man from Maine.
Oh, sure.
But maybe we can get a taste. Maybe we are getting a taste this morning on the Jeff and Wisp show. Clunk, we're going to come back to you really quickly, but first we gotta go traffic.
108.9 The Hawk traffic with Art Spart.
Wow! It's raining, it's pouring, and my God, it's flooding? And you can blame Creedence Clearwater Revival for that. Well, maybe I should choose my words carefully. I meant you should blame the Creedence Clearwater Juglers, America's premier CCR tribute band, who were playing the annual Val Verde tribute to Vietnam soundtracks. That is, of course, the celebration of the soundtracks that are on movies or documentaries about the Vietnam War. So, of course, CCC had to play. And the problem is, they were too good. As people were grooving to a guy that sounded so much like John Fogerty was scary, people started yelling out, "This tribute band sounds just like CCR! They must have made a deal with the devil!" To which the singer of CCC gave a little wink and said, "Kind of!" Right when they broke into "Have You Ever Seen the Rain?" And we did! The magic or devil work that made CCC so good was also making the CCR songs come to life! Rain, as far as the eye could see. But that didn't stop them from grooving even as the water level rose. People were wondering, who would stop the rain? As they played, "Who'll Stop the Rain?" And no one answered that question. It just kept coming down. Then the weather got muggy as all hell when they played "Born on the Bayou." People were fashioning homemade fan boats out of replicas of pontoon boats from Apocalypse Now. And they were going to need it to float down the river that was now going down Hog Street as CCC played. You guessed it, Green River. I tell you, CCR liked water in all its forms. So you better try to avoid all the major roads for the time being, or at least until CCC stops playing this rendition of Bad Moon Rising, because, well, I don't think that is water coming out of this Green River. You can probably expect some werewolves, and that will really mess up your commute. And that's been traffic from the Burt's Funeral Flowers traffic desk. Art Spart, 108.9 The Hawk.
With Burt's Funeral Flowers, with Burt's Funeral Flowers.
Oh my God, and we, God. Holy shit. Some actual classic rock. Some actual classic rock.
My God.
8 o'clock hour, we did it. We're coming back with Clunk in a second, but right now, the Thor song on 108.9 The Hawk.
For over 100 years, we here at Farnsworth Confectionaries have been making Val Verde's most favorite regional candy, namely the Farnsworth Chocolate Turd. And we here at Farnsworth Confectionery wanted to thank you, the people of Val Verde, for supporting your local candy business. We also wanted to thank you for defending Farnsworth for even making a candy called a chocolate turd. People who didn't grow up loving and eating the chocolate turd just don't understand. Constantly asking you, why would you eat something like that? Yes, I know it's regional, but you really want a candy that's kind of like caramel but tastes like beets? Wait, is it made of beets? Because I also heard that at one point the chocolate turd was actually a medicine back in the 1800s, created by this quack, T.T. Farnsworth, that was supposed to be a miracle cure-all, but mostly it was for bowel movements. And then one day he realized nobody was buying his snake oil anymore, so then he put a little bit of sugar in there and he started calling it a candy. But for some reason, he also realized that this new candy looked like a real human turd and then called it the chocolate turd, bringing much unneeded attention to the fact that you were basically eating bowel movement medicine. Yep, that's just an everyday occurrence of being a Farnsworth chocolate turd fan. So we appreciate you for defending us. Farnsworth chocolate turds. It's regional.
Here's some of the new rock you'll hear this week on 108.9 The Hawk. Papa Roach.
Claws and Butter.
Cut my life into pieces with your claws and butter.
Bionic Toys.
Theme from Bionic Toys.
We are the Bionic Toys and we make a noise. We are the Bionic Toys.
Black Label Whiskey Bottle.
Party it ain't for free.
Party in. No, it ain't for free. Come on.
X marks the spot.
Blood clots.
Had it in my mind. And I have it in my heart. It's a blood clot.
And the latest from Pfister. In a collaboration between Pfister and Seals and Croft.
Baloney Boys.
You think you know the boys? Oh, I'm talking baloney boys. Baloney boys.
That's all the new rock you get on your home for rock. 108.9, The Hawk. Oh, it doesn't get classic, more classic rock than that. It's from their album Down on the Upside from 1996, Soundgarden. On 108.
Does it not get more classic than
that's
that?
That's what the thing says, I have to say. It doesn't get more classic rock than that. And of course,
wrong
pretty
and
news.
Clunky all at once, I have to say.
Scotty, you could have given us a Black Hole Sun. You could have given us an Outshined.
Oh, my God, an Outshined.
You could have given us a Rusty Cage. I would have taken Jesus Christ Pose over Pretty News, that's what we got. And that's what you got to deal with. Scotty's just shaking his head no, and he's putting his hands up.
We're just stuck.
Like, he doesn't know, but he does know.
Scotty doesn't know.
So, Scotty doesn't. You got Euro-tripped by Clunk. Okay, Clunk. Back in the booth.
That was my nickname when I was an astronaut in NASA. Now, let me explain.
No, please.
First of all, the word explain rhymes with main. So let's put that on up
on
the board.
Boom. We're going to have fireworks.
It didn't even stop rolling through the commercials. That's the crazy part.
Now, my nickname, too, was a bit of a fun. It was a bit of a fun, you see, because I was not actually, people would say, why did they name you Clunk? Did you clunk your head into the lunar module as you entered it?
That was actually a coincidence.
Yeah, the reason I clunked my head was that I was drunk. So the point is, my nickname originally was Drunk.
Oh! And you can't
have
that
again,
in the American
President
space
Richard
program.
Nixon said no. We can't have an astronaut whose nickname is Drunk. We'll call him Clunk because of the famous Clunkin. And so that was just one of the many ways that the history of NASA was misrepresented to the people of America.
My God. Wow. And then that is in the book.
Now, it is. And what I want to say is earlier I said, you know, when you are in a tin can.
Full of farts and friends out in outer space. That would have been a good name for a book.
It's called Moon Man from Maine.
No, I know that. We put it on the board. We do know that. But I'm just saying friends and farts.
It's too late. It's too late to retitle
but maybe
book.
Another book. Right. Maybe another book. Maybe
if you want to write another one.
This is the definitive book of the only Maine astronaut to have traveled on 19 Apollo missions. I was on Apollo 28, as you know.
Apollo
I was
20,
on Apollo 19. Uh-huh. I was on Apollo 17.
Right.
I was going to be on Apollo 15, but I was drunk.
Oh.
And I was on Apollo 13 originally, but I said, I don't feel like going on that one. I took a look at it and I said, not for me.
You're like, you took a look at it and you're like, maybe you didn't put this one together properly.
Yeah. I said, Houston, I'm not going to be part of that problem.
Houston, maybe don't shoot this one into the air.
They didn't listen to old Drunk.
When they were making the Apollo 13 movie.
It's called Apollo.
When they were making
Apollo 13.
And you were famously played by Billy Bob Thornton in the movie, who was just
one of the best scenes.
True, I was.
His main accent, ridiculously good. So good.
He did he did some training with me.
That was my question.
Oh, he went with you.
Jesus, that was the question.
He's a method actor.
I didn't want to take any money. I was a fan of Sling Blade.
Oh, yes.
I thought it was just fine, but he insisted on paying me, and he only paid me in vials of Angelina Jolie's blood.
I mean, that's worth more than gold right there, I'd say.
Apparently,
I mean, did he come in with the Sling Blade accent first, and you were like, we're not in Maine territory?
Was he like, that's good, Apollo 13?
I said, no, you don't understand, I'm not from Central Maine.
I'm fixing
it. There'd be monsters.
That's a Central Maine accent, talking about mustard on French fried potatoes.
I'm from the coast. I'm from Isle of Hot.
There you go.
Of course.
There's a bit of
traffic report from the state of Maine. Just getting this in now. A bit of a slowdown on Route 3.
Wait. Do you want the traffic? Do you want traffic music?
I suppose I do.
Here we go.
108.9 The Hawk Traffic with Art Spart.
Yeah, Chuck.
It's on to you.
This is not Art Spart. This is Charlie Charles Clunk Bottoms, a.k.a. Carter, talking to you now with the traffic from the state of Maine. Bit of an update that I just got from my Aunt Tina, called in to say there's a bit of a slowdown on Route 3 between Augusta and Belfast, to the tune of there's a car on the road. Be aware, there is a car on Route 3. If you are to drive on Route 3, you might encounter another vehicle. This might cause a bit of a slowdown. Also, be careful taking a left turn into the Belfast Curling Club. Parking lot's pretty full with curlers right now, and there's a dead porcupine in the road. Bit of an update for out-of-state travelers. The road between Isle of Hot and Stonington does not exist. It's an island. Don't try to drive there.
Oh, my God.
This has been Charlie Chow's Clunk Bottoms Scatter with the traffic from Maine.
Oh, and it's good to hear right here.
That was beautiful.
Making your way from Val Verde to Maine this morning.
I mean, I also don't know if during that you heard the Maine counter. It was going like one of those old-timey train calendars. It was like...
It sounded like the drums on the beginning of Hot for Teacher.
Oh, my God.
I've got it bad. But I'm not Hot for Teacher. I'm Hot for the Truth.
And you are telling us the
another good book title, but I know that was the definitive one.
I already told you, it's already been printed.
Too late printed.
Okay. It's available at every Barnes & Noble and Borders. You can go get it. Moon Man from Maine by me. I won't say
and we do
again.
Have copies of Books 1000.
We got it over at Books 1000 down on Hunt Street.
I'm going over there for a signing later today. If I make it, you see. I might not make it to the signing.
What do you mean?
My concern is that I will be murdered by government agents before I get there. You see, because I'm telling the truth. There was some material in the book they didn't want me to include, but I'm going to share it with you two on this classic radio rock station program.
Really? We are the best classic radio rock program.
You're the only interview I've been offered, and
I
have
Scotty.
No desire to continue.
Wow, real press junket,
Scotty.
So
let's hit it. Let's hit the hard stuff there.
Well,
Clunk.
I was saying before that.
Hit the hard stuff. Sorry, I don't want you drinking.
We don't want you
been
drinking.
That was just a euphemism.
Drunk.
Oh, okay. Well,
they don't call me Clunk for nothing.
That is true. That is true.
Clunk is also how a drunk person says drunk.
We gotta change his name from drunk.
Oh my God, Mr. Nixon.
Oh, Nixon,
are you here? I thought you were dead. That's
some uncanny right there.
Right.
Now I'm going to have a little drink of Alan's coffee, Brandon.
Okay.
Brandy.
Yeah. Alan's coffee, Brandon. Brandy. That's
Alan's coffee brandy.
That's a wonderful looking glass song. I love
my mistake.
Yeah,
Alan's coffee. The product is called Alan's coffee brandy.
Brandy,
of course.
And you can
Alan's coffee. Brandon invented it.
Yeah. Oh, and he's so good.
Oh, he's wonderful inventor.
He is so good.
Very nice job with that, I would say.
Good job. Okay.
Cursed a lot of Maine astronauts to poverty. So the point I was making is that when I said that we were stuck in a can full of farts and friends and outer space, that were an exaggeration.
Oh.
The exaggerated part was space. The extra exaggerated part was outer. For indeed, we were not in space at that time or at any time during the entire NASA space program. As they say on social media, let that sink in.
I usually, when I see something on social media, they say, suck it up, snowflake. Is this a real suck it up snowflake moment for
That's
us?
That's a good point. I should have asked you to suck it up snowflake.
Okay.
Okay, well, so can you give us a second to suck it up as a snowflake?
I ask you to suck it up, and I would ask you also to buckle up, buttercup.
Okay, I'm going to suck.
Because you see, the entire program was a lie. Now, you've really? Heard about this before.
I mean, we heard about the Kubrick thing, and I said that's horseshit because I was good best friends with Stan Kubrick, and he got a little cagey anytime I asked about it, and he would just start, he would automatically shift the story to something The Shining, yet another one from your boy from Maine, and he wouldn't really tell me quite what happened, but
he just started talking about that blowjob bear, right? Every time you asked about this, about the space program.
Yeah, that's actually a real person from Maine, Blowjob Bear.
Really?
That was a real person.
Yeah, that was based in reality. See, you know, I have mixed feelings about The Shining, because on the one hand, I also worked with Stanley Kubrick on the filming of the moon landing, you see. That is true.
Okay.
All right.
And you know, and he asked me afterward, you know, because we did fake that moon landing, and we shot it in Maine, you see.
That was
we shot it on a beach on Isle of Haut, on the dark side of Isle of Haut.
Was it your land on Isle of Haut that it was done on, or was it just like a public park?
All the land, all the beachfront is owned communally on Isle of Haut.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
It's a socialist
paradise.
So you
didn't have to rent a gazebo to do
because
that.
Of the farmer. No, not for the moon landing. No.
Okay. I was wondering if I saw a gazebo.
Stanley looked at it and I said, "Look, here is a beach in Maine.
Right.
Does this look like the moon to you?" And he goes, "It looks a little inhospitable compared to the surface of the moon. Looks a little
worse for wear than the moon."
that sounds like Stan, human, by the way.
Looks like human life could not survive on this beach.
Oh,
I gotta say that does sound like a Maine beach.
I gotta tell you, it's like I am talking to my best friend in the world, Stan Kubrick, right now, because he would talk about how comfortable the moon looked all the time, and then he would just shit on anything else. Oh. I would take him out by the banks of the Val Verde River down there in Slayer Gulch, and he would be
one
like,
of the most
what
beautiful
is
lands.
This, what is this? And now I just realize he was probably scouting places to shoot the moon.
Scouting for the Moon, which is a good book title.
That is. That's too
a good
late, though.
To put it on
in fact,
the
it was one that Stanley Kubrick actually wrote. It's in one of his boxes out there in England. Yeah. But they suppressed that, too, you know. They didn't want him to talk about it. That's why he had to make The Shining. Now, I had mixed feelings about The Shining, you see, because I liked Stanley. We worked together closely, pretending we landed on the moon there in Maine.
Pretending.
We worked together quite closely. We drank a lot of coffees, Allen Brandy.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Also, Alan's coffee brandy. Two different
combinations. You'd alternate, double fist it.
And Brandon was there. He's like, who wants a top buff?
I would like you, Clunk, to come and consult on the making of The Shining because, you know, I'm going to admit obliquely, I'm going to admit to faking the moon landing by putting a child in a sweater. I'm going to put a child in an Apollo sweater, and it will be my confession, you see. And I said, Stanley, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
He said the dumbest shit.
If you want to confess, do so. If you want to confess, follow my lead. Wait until your children, who are kidnapped by Richard Nixon, finally starve to death in that bowling alley. Then there's nothing over you, and you can finally tell the truth on a radio program.
Wait, he did not
this
feed
is an
them
extra
in the bowling
detail
alley.
Here.
This is a detail we they died.
Bit it, breaking news.
They died.
That was
he
too,
wouldn't
that was too grim. They died of old age and misadventure.
Oh, but in the bowling alley they died.
Oh, yes.
Wait.
So they lived well
there?
They lived there well into the Obama era.
Oh my God.
They don't tell you.
That was my next question. Yeah.
You know, I got to say though, there's nothing sadder than
rules.
A parent outliving their children.
Oh,
just
Stanley
like
said,
when they're saying in the bowling alley of the White House until the Obama administration.
Oh my God.
Rest in power to your children.
Rest in power to your children.
That's what
I imagine they're still down there.
Not a bad book title also. Rest in power to your children.
I have to tell you the truth. They weren't my children. They were Weak Arms, Buzzes. They all had children. I never did, you see, because I was a bachelor. Married to the sea, I was.
Married to the sea.
But not married to space, because I've never been.
You've never been to space.
No human has, you see.
Nobody.
No, we had to say that we did in order to make sure that the Russians didn't go.
Of course.
The Russians went anyway, of course.
But then the, Russians get there?
We're just blown away. We're trying to suck it up like the snowflakes we are. Wait, the Russians got to the moon, but we didn't?
That's quite right. They're there now, you think? Shit.
They're there now.
Oh, yeah, of course they are. They are India, China, Israel. They all have moon bases.
And none of, and we didn't. Why did they get there and we didn't?
Well, we didn't want to go, you see. We just wanted to fake it. You see, in order to chase them off for a bit. Didn't work.
It didn't work. Sending shuttles into space, but we didn't.
Oh, well, the shuttles didn't really go into space, you see.
They just flew to an island?
Low Earth orbit at best.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But I don't, look, I was off of the Apollo project by that time. Right. And by 1979, 1980, Stanley Kubrick was saying, I want to confess through a movie version of a Stephen King book.
The best way to confess?
If you've got to confess, I've always
said. And I said, well, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But I must recuse myself because, first of all, you're going to ruin a great work of fiction called The Shining by Stephen King.
Who is from?
It was from Maine.
Maine.
And of course, Stephen King is not a fan of the movie The Shining because...
No.
Stanley Kubrick took out all the parts of the moving topiary and the giant game of shuffleboard or whatever it was. I don't know.
That's true.
Croquet.
And seemingly, he never was psyched with Shelley Duvall's portrayal of his wife.
And also, Stephen King said, and I quote, "Why did you use my book to confess to faking the moon landing?"
Valid point.
It's a real good question. Honestly.
I could have made quite a bit of money, you know, consulting on The Shining, but I didn't because of my obligation to my home state of Maine.
Stephen King
is from Bangor, Maine.
He is.
I'm from Isle of Hot, Maine. Stanley Kubrick isn't from Maine at all. But I said there are two things. I will leave you with two things. Two words, two areas of advice, Stanley. First of all,
one,
put in Blowjob Bear. Now, he had never heard of him.
Really?
He had never heard of Blowjob Bear. And I'll tell you something else. Blowjob Bear is not in the original novel.
No.
If you read through that book, you will not find a single mention of a Blowjob Bear.
Ever edited from a Stephen King book was Blowjob Bear.
Blowjob Bear was not even from Bangor. Blowjob Bear was a neighbor of mine on Isle of Hot.
Isle of Hot?
Yeah. And, you know, he dressed as a bear. Now people say, was he a human bear hybrid? No.
That was my question.
That was my question, too.
A man in a bear suit who enjoyed giving blowjobs. I said, this would be good for your film. Don't know what it says about the moon, but I think you should put it in. That's a bit of Maine trivia for you.
I think it says a lot about the moon because
I think so too.
I'm questioning the moon while watching The Shining, but I'm also just like, wait a second. Does the inclusion of Blowjob Bear mean anything about the moon?
People wonder, don't they?
And Ebert said it.
They think it's part of the conspiracy. But no, it was just something I suggested.
Siskel asked it.
My other piece of advice for Stanley Kubrick was only this. Lots of takes. Get a lot of takes.
You're going to have to get a lot of takes.
Because when we faked the moon landing, Stanley Kubrick was like one and done.
Really?
It was like working with Ed Wood out there on the beach. I mean, give me another one for me, Stanley, I said.
That's great. Cut it.
Give me one.
Cardboard spaceship getting knocked over. He didn't care. He's like, just keep on going.
The flag just waving.
Now, for all the times I visited the fake moon, I only stepped on the fake moon surface once. The rest of the time I was in the fake lunar module. Landing module. Collecting and organizing fake specimens.
Of course.
I was in B-roll, you see. B-roll for the fake moon landing.
But
every now and then they would cut to me and they would say, what are you doing there? And I'd say, I'm organizing a specimen.
Really,
what I was doing was drinking Brandon's Coffee Alley.
The coffee brandy.
Brandon's Coffee Alley, it was called.
So basically, you were in...
And I had to drink... I couldn't drink it out of a glass, of course, because I had to pretend I was in a low-gravity environment.
So, of course,
you had to show off that you were catching those drops in your mouth.
Yeah, so I got what was then a prototype for the Capri Sun. Filled it full of Brandon's Coffee Alley, and I drank from it.
Are you saying that this conspiracy also involves the good people at Capri Sun?
This is the part that I'm having the hardest time believing.
I literally just asked my britches.
They're not good people.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
If you look at their corporate charter, it says, how do we train children of the world? Our mission is to train children of the world to drink from bags as though it were a dystopian society.
Wow. It is right here.
It's right
in my
here.
Back pocket. I always keep my constitution and I keep my Capri Sun corporate charter.
They were preparing children for a nuclear apocalypse, you see.
Wow.
Essentially serving them bunker food.
Oh, yeah.
Not the original preppers.
That's how Lunchables was born.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Cancel lunch, Scotty. I'm going to have to eat something else.
I'm not going to have a cold little weird pizza you make in your own box. No. I can't do it anymore because this is
I
like
said
a
the children
apocalypse.
Of Earth deserve better.
I say the children of the Earth deserve better.
That's included on the audiobook of my book.
I hope so. I hope so.
It is a very, very long audiobook. Now, it's an ironic, songs.
It's an ironic title, of course.
It's too many songs.
I never were on the moon. No man ever was. And indeed, I was only on the fake moon one time. One time.
In full color.
Skipped Roman was not able to walk on the fake moon due to a misadventure. So I had to climb down the ladder and take my walk on it for Stanley's cameras. And I walked and I adjusted the flag. And then Stanley said, cut. And I said, please, Stanley, one more for me.
One more for me. One for Clunk.
One for me, please.
And he said, no.
Wow.
But I'll tell you something. A lot of people ask, what was it like to be on the fake moon?
Hey, what was it like to be on the fake moon?
Well, I would say it was somewhat humbling. And though I'm not a spiritual person, it put me in the mind of God, thinking and standing there alone on that blasted plain of rock known as a main beach, doubling as the moon, looking into the dark night sky and staring at the little blue marble that they call Earth. It was actually a blue marble, you see, because of the camera. We had to
blue marble.
Oh, yeah.
We had to put a blue marble.
You got
to
have a marble.
Into a black velvet backdrop. And Stanley wanted me to look at it and think about it for a bit, and I did.
Oh, my God.
And it was somewhat humbling. And it put one in the mind of God. And specifically, it made me realize that I am God.
Well, that's
breaking news.
Breaking news. Hey, that's a huge one to pause on for a second, Clunk. We do got to pay some bills here. And when I think of the sound of God, now I know it's the sound of Clunk's voice. But before, I thought it was Green Day on 108.9 The Hawk.
For over 100 years, Valverde Memorial Hospital has proudly served the Valverde Valley, and we're hopefully not stopping anytime soon. I'm Chief Hospital Person Michelle Sally Dabbs. X-rays, MRIs, oxygen tanks, heart monitors, hospital beds. Yep, we've got them all. But we're still a little unsure how to use them. You heard that correctly. For over 100 years, Valverde Memorial Hospital has amassed some of the greatest medical equipment this modern world has created. But truthfully, we're still researching just how to use it. If you're in our halls and you hear a code green, that means three doctors are needed to Google how to use a defibrillator. Code 42 means there are 42 patients in dire need of medical assistance, and that number is too high. Woof. Push some of those sickies into the parking lot, you get it. Code food truck? All that means is that the food truck has finally parked out front. Hooray! Dinner is on. Okay, fine. I agree science has done some amazing things, and one day I'm sure we'll catch up to it. I mean, statistically we have to, right? Anyways, come see us at Valverde Memorial Hospital, where our creed is, your life are many confused hands.
This is Johnny Rotten. You ever feel like you've been cheated? Well, I don't when I'm listening to 108.9 The Hawk. Doo-dah.
He was a nematologist, a scientist who studies worms and their uses, specifically in agriculture. And he brought all of his skills to a small Texas town full of underprivileged children and taught them how to use the worms to help their small farming community. In the surprisingly dry Based on a True Story biopic that you always thought was an action movie. Because the original VHS box was very loose in its interpretation, so it kind of looked like it was a mix of Dune and Tremors. Jim Belushi, Reba McEntire, and Peter Weller. He controls the worms because he is the Worm Master. Channel 8, your home for great shit.
Oh, a twofer. That's what you call in the industry a double shot of Green Day, formerly known as the voice of God on 108.9 The Honk. But now we know that isn't true on the Jeff and Wisp show.
Don't listen to American Idiot, because it ain't the voice of God.
It ain't the voice of God.
I enjoyed that very much. That was some fun. Jeff and Wisp, what a pleasure it's been to be here with you.
It's been so good having you here, Clunk. Our minds are blown. I will say the moon thing, kind of feel like I've been betrayed and lied to
a little bit.
It gets me more.
Really? I feel sad that I have to believe those sad people in room 237 and all their conspiracy theories. 237.
You're talking like my Billy Bob Thornton voice again. Which one?
It sounded
one
like a Central Maine accent.
Yeah. I think it was a Central Maine. Yeah, I thought I was doing a Jersey, and then it became a Central Maine. That's just a simple fact.
I can't believe it.
I feel like my
Wound Socket, Presque Isle. That's a very typical Presque Isle accent, I have to say.
Oh, my God.
Could, put that in my back pocket. I got a Presque Isle.
You could fit in there quite well, I would say. It would be some kind of you to move up there and pretend to be a local.
I mean, that helps in my sadness a little bit about not ever going to the moon.
Clunk, we're looking at the board here, and I just want to say we are at 1,323 mentions of Maine so far, and we've only been on with you for 30 some minutes.
Well, that's some cunning right there. I like it.
Is that a normal day for Clunk?
In
Have
Maine?
We been clunked this morning?
You got clunked. It's the state of Maine.
Oh man!
Hang on 1 second. I have to make a quick phone call.
Please do, please.
Calling my publisher.
Okay, call them.
Of course.
Alfred Edward Knopf.
Oh,
Alfred.
God. I can't believe he's got his number.
It's me, Clunk.
I can't believe
this. Yes, I'm on the radio now. Yes, I am telling the truth. Yes, listen, you know how I was going to go over to the Books 1000 to do a book signing here in town, and I was afraid for my life because I was going to reveal that the space mission was fake and also I'm God. Yes. Oh, you remember that. Good. Thank you. Well, listen, a number of alternate titles have come up for the book. Now, I know it's been published already and printed. And I've said that from the beginning, I only wanted to be called Moon Man of Maine. That's right. But Alfred, please calm down. Calm down in advance because I'm going to say something you don't like.
Uh-oh.
Withdraw the book.
Oh,
God.
This is what I want you to do, Alfred. I want you to get every copy. And I want you to personally pulp it. Pulp everyone.
Pulp it enough.
I've got a new name. We'll republish it. I mean, maybe keep the interior pages, but not the title page, because I'm changing the title only. Yes, smart you understand. Move. Here it is. You ready for the new title?
Oh, here it is. Come on.
Alfred, are you sitting down?
Sit down, Alfred.
You got clunked.
Oh!
I'm putting my hand over the phone now to speak to you, Jeff.
Okay, yes, please. Please,
that's
please.
A good move.
How did Knopf take
it? He says he loves it.
Oh! I had a feeling.
He likes
what
it.
He gets
a
it.
Joyous time. Knopf gets it. I always say that.
It.
If Alfred Edward Knopf, yes, we're on. Good. Jeff and Wispy wants to know if you'll blurb it. Will you blurb
the
book?
Blurb oh, my God. Yeah, we'll blurb the hell out of it.
I think we would say you're going to feel real good because your ass just got clunked.
I think that's good, yeah.
And just
hear that one, Alfred? He heard it.
He heard it, Knopf.
Just that Tell good. But credit it to later. Both of us, Tell even though he said it.
No, just to me. Wisp turn.
No, make sure you get both of us. You got to get in there.
And tell Knopf
I'll
talk to him.
All right, they both want to be. I don't understand. Anyway, yes, say goodbye. Say hello to Janice for me. Tell her that I love her. Janice. Our lovemaking. Goodbye.
Janice is wonderful.
Whoa, hello.
Janice is wonderful.
Janice, wonderful.
Well, if there's one song that I think of for old Charlie Clunk Bottoms, it's got to be this. When you get right down to it at the end of the day, life's been good to Clunk.
So far. So far.
So
he gets it.
Far. He gets it. He gets it. Hey, Skeet Ulrich coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. He was going to talk about space
talk
travel,
about space
but he's
travel.
Shaking his head now. He said he's screwed. I don't know what I've got. Maybe we'll talk about
book.
Jericho
Jeff and
or
Wisp,
something.
I need to ask you something, though.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
After this, I was to go over to Books 1000 to do the book signing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, we have 30,000 copies of the book over there that need to be burned. Will you come with me and we'll burn them?
Oh, I love a good book
burning. Oh, I love a wonderful book burning.
100%.
That's good. Sorry.
We're on our way.
I just needed one more take from me. I know you were trying to play me off, Kubrick style.
No. Oh, yeah, you got us. You got us there, man. One for me. Hey, if you want to see some books going up in flames, head on over to Books 1000 over on
Hawk
Street.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot, 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 starting at 10 a.m. And meet an American legend, Charlie Clunk Bottoms. We'll be there on 108.9 The Hawk.
That was really fun.
John Hodgman, thank you so much for being on 108.9 The Hawk.
This is fun. I've really been enjoying listening to it.
Oh, thank you. It's been a blast to do. It's just such a weird little world. What's fun about this episode, too, is like usually we talk a lot about Val Verde. So this is the first episode where we kind
I'm sorry if I took you out of your.
No, I love that.
We don't need more information added to there's, Val Verde.
There's so much about Val Verde. So to like talk about its connections to other places. Is Isle of Hot real?
There's an island called Isla O.
I've been to Portland. Yep. I spent some time in Portland.
That's the biggest city in Maine.
And I liked it a lot.
What were you doing there?
We were just, my wife and I would, when we first got married, every year we would hit 5 states and like road trip around.
Oh, nice.
So we could get all 50. I think we only did 3 states in that one. We flew into New Hampshire. We spent some time in Vermont and then drove over to Portland.
Well, you saw a lot of road.
A lot of road.
A lot of cinema road.
But it's beautiful.
The best part about driving from Vermont into New Hampshire is that you feel your tax dollars not at work. The moment you drive into New Hampshire, the roads turn to shit.
Okay.
Love it.
Because no one pays taxes there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, come on back to Maine sometime.
The libertarian dream.
Yeah. The libertarian dream. And Jeff, you're a New England guy.
Yes, I was up in Maine. I mean, my main thing with Maine is I remember going on a trip once and my father, we went to Rockport, which in my memory was one street.
That might be.
Yeah, and my father often still sings, I've been to Rockport and I'm never going back again. And he just still will bring it up.
Is that a song?
My father is a king of references nobody knows.
Oh, that's
so it's
cool.
Quite possible it's some 50s song that he transposed.
That's very funny. Well, next time try Rockland. It's right nearby.
I'm going to go
Rockland. And he can sing that song.
Also
he
one street. There's another street in Maine. Trust me. What's the name of your band?
I'm in a band called Orchid.
Orchid.
Yes.
You can't say I was in a band because you guys are back together.
I've been saying I was, but now I am in a band named Orchid.
Do you know Monty Belmonte?
I do not know Monty.
He was the morning DJ for WRSI The River in Northampton for a long time.
Oh.
That's a good name. Oh, my God.
Well, that's his radio name. His name is Chris Belmonte.
But it's a great radio. And The River.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
3.9 The River. Different is good.
Is that literally the... I love that. Different is good.
They were at, like, and still are, like, alternative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was one question we always ask our guests that come on is like, what is your relationship to classic rock? Were you a big classic rock fan growing up or no?
Sorry.
No, that's totally fine. That's like, is there...
That's my path, too, as I came to it later, but I grew up with classic rock being played by my father, and I was like, I like punk. And
I mean, I like classic rock now.
Right.
Yes.
At the time, that was the soundtrack of Less Weird Kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, the jocks would be listening to the Halen and...
The jocks and, like...
We called them white hats in our school because they always were wearing a white hat with, like, college on it.
Right. Yeah. We called them point kids. They were hockey jocks, the working class Irish hockey jocks.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, there were two in the quadrangle of our high school. There were the Stoner Stairs and there were the Freak Stairs. And I was in the Freak Stairs. That's where I hung out.
Nice.
Or the metal stairs, not the Stoner Stairs. They were the hard rock kids were over there. I was in the alternative high school program, so we were listening to fucking Echo and the Bunnymen and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my world.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. But yeah. I enjoy those hot licks. I enjoy them.
Yeah, you know, every now and then you just got to, pull up your chair and get some good hot licks.
That's true. You know? That's true. That's basically the ethos of classic rock. Like, yeah. Pull up a chair. Pull up a chair, Boomer, and listen to your favorite song.
Time for some hot licks. You heard Eruption by Halen? Well, you're going to now.
Time for you to tell some young people while this is the real rock.
Yeah. I was kind of force-fed it from my parents. Like, my dad was a huge Neil Young fan. So I listened to a lot of Neil Young, and that's kind of my path into it. But I was still listening to stuff like, I was really into REM, and I was really into, Nirvana and all Sebado and all that stuff growing up.
One time,
that's like, for me, it was a soundtrack of like Yard Work was 99 Rock WPLR in Connecticut. So it was like, I couldn't deal with it until I got into my 20s, 30s, because I also was like, well, I'm a punk kid. I'm a hardcore kid. I live in that world. I went to acting school. I was in the freak world as well. So
yeah, no, but it's good classic rock. And Neil Young, in 2013 or 2014, when I was still on The Daily Show, I was given an alert that Neil Young was going to call me.
Oh, my God.
My manager said, Neil Young got in touch. Can we give him your number? And I'm like, sure.
Wait, just to talk?
I was like, why? And they're like, we don't know.
That's the best. That is the best.
Now, I was not raised on Neil Young.
Okay.
Sure.
By your father.
By Gary Gore. Did not raise you on a steady diet of Neil Young.
Neil Young. And I admire Neil Young, but I'd never had a particular connection.
Right.
So it's not like I was totally freaking out, but I was concerned and curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Understandable.
And then forgot all about it for weeks. And then out of the blue, I'm getting ready to go out to do a show or something. It's in the evening time. And I get a call. And it's like, oh, hey, is this John? I'm like, yeah, that's. And he's like, this is Jeff. I'm Neil Young's manager. We're backstage in Winnipeg. Neil wants to talk to you. I'm like, okay. And then he gets on the phone and I'm not going to do a voice.
He's like, hey, it's me, Neil.
He's like, oh, hey, I just, I really wanted to reach out to you. I don't know if you know that I'm creating a new music player.
Oh, yes.
A new digital music player called the Pono.
Yep.
And I was like, right. Neil Young was always like, CDs suck. Albums are best.
Yeah.
MP3s are terrible. It's like, well, now he's going to fix it because he created this thing. He's like, and we're going to do a Kickstarter for it. And we're going to do some video. And I thought you might be good in the video. And I said, wow, I'd really have to think about that. It's really flattering. And he said, well, you did such a great job over the summer filling in for Jon Stewart. And I was like, Neil Young thinks I'm John Oliver.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And I was
Did
like,
he even pick up on the accent? He heard the main accent.
I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, I said, you might have me confused with John Oliver. He goes, oh, well, no, but I'm a big fan of yours, too. And so he kept it going.
Yeah.
Like, rather than just saying, like, oh, I made a horrible mistake. I think it was out of niceness to me. He kept trying to flog this fucking thing.
Wow. Did he send you one?
He didn't send me one. He sent a man over with one to my house.
Oh, okay.
Because he had a prototype.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And I was like, I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said to him, look, I would do this, but it was a couple of years after the Apple campaign had ended. And I was still like, I'm still hoping they'll come back. And I have a feeling doing technology ads for any other company or weird Canadian legend fantasy idea might not help. So I'm going to respectfully pass.
Yeah. Understandable.
Oh,
it's too bad. I could have gotten some shares in Pono.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, exactly. Completely.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I do appreciate that.
I'd be sitting in a room full of loonies and toonies right now.
Loonies and toonies, and they could have an unending supply of Ponos. You could have built a shed with them.
Yeah. My God. They were pyramidal in shape.
Oh. Yeah, they're like a Toblerone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Very handy for sticking in your pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I still kind of want one just to have.
All right, I'll like make a note. Pono. I'll call Neil. Yeah.
Hey, John Oliver called. John, thank you so much
for
coming on the show. Anything to plug? Anything going on you want Hawk listeners to know about right now?
I do not have a book called Man of Moon Main or whatever it was.
Okay, what?
I am the host of Judge John Hodgman,
which is so damn
very funny.
Funny.
That comes out every Wednesday. And I also write a little column called Judge John Hodgman in the New York Times Magazine.
Amazing.
And the cartoon show that I made with my friend David Reese called Dicktown is still available on Hulu. We have two great seasons of it, and it's a lot of fun.
It's so funny. I love Dicktown. Dicktown is so good.
I love Dicktown. Good. Just keep saying I love Dicktown.
I love Dicktown. I love Dicktown.
Get that Dicktown clicker going.
Put Dicktown on the board. See how many times you can say Dicktown.
We're already at 8:33.
Wow. Look at that.
So that's how many times. John, thank you so much. We'd love to have you back.
All right. I'd love to be back.
All right.
Or any other character.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's Big Truck from 108.9 The Hawk. I'm just headed down the road on a long haul, but I wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this episode of 108.9 The Hawk, the podcast version of what we air right here in Val Verde every day. And if you want to support 108.9 The Hawk, you can do so by telling your friends to listen to 108.9 The Hawk. Subscribe, rate, review. You can also subscribe to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/1089TheHawk. You can get episodes 1 week early, bonus shows, some video content, and a lot of other fun stuff. And it's a great way to support the world's greatest podcast about a fictional classic rock radio station, 108.9 The Hawk. And don't forget that you can get new episodes of 108.9 The Hawk every Monday, wherever you get them podcasts. Toot toot!